Hello, thank you for listening to this sermon from our Revive service. We hope it helps you learn more about God and allow you to grow closer to Him and in your faith.
Thanks for being here today. If you don't know, my name is Aaron Varner. I have the great privilege of being the senior pastor here. Thanks for braving the snow and the cold and the wind and everything else. I just wanted to let you know we ordered sunshine for your way home, so the roads should be all good by the time we leave here. My little app that just came up a little bit ago, it said the snow won't begin again until 1:30. So we have plenty of time together, okay? Some of you are like, no, not that long. Last week, we marveled at looking at our theme for this month. We marveled at the arrival of Jesus and the fact that here is this truth that God had stepped into our world, clothed in flesh, wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed where? In a manger, a feeding trough. But today we want to move from his arrival to his mission. We want to look at his mission. And ultimately, when we think about mission, I thought about an assignment. Then I thought about my Spanish class. I'm not going to talk to you about my Spanish class because I didn't do very good in my Spanish class. So I want to talk about something else. But those of you who are still in school or just finishing school, you know all about assignments, right? And those of us who are out of school, we are thankful that we don't have any more assignments, even though those of us who are married, our wives give us assignment to do often, right? And so that's a good thing. But when I think about an assignment, I think about in college, we had what was called orals. It's kind of like an ordination. But before I could graduate from Baptist Bible College, I had to sit with two professors and take in an unmarked Bible, and I had to be ready to answer. There were between 400 and 500 questions that we had to prep for, and the only thing that we could use was that Bible as our defense. And so any question out of those 400 to 500 questions, I had to be ready to defend. And if you know me, I get really nervous. Like, my few lines, I get nervous. I was actually really good this morning until, like, all of you adults that kept giving me a hard time. Do you know your lines? Are you ready? I'm like, stop. You don't do that to all those kids. I was nervous because you sit with these two professors who are doctors who know the word. And you have to be ready after 4 years. And so part of that was you're preparing for 4 years knowing you have to pass this examination, this assignment that is for you. And if you don't pass, you don't graduate. And I knew there were some guys who didn't pass ordination or what we called orals, this oral assignment, and they were devastated, which I would be too. Which kind of leads me back to why I didn't want to talk about Spanish, because it's hard enough for me to memorize Spanish words. And man, do I have stories about Spanish class and not saying the word correctly. I know that for those of you who know me know I have struggles with English, let alone Spanish. And here I am the first day of Spanish class reading a word and I say it in a most inappropriate way. And the kid in front of me falls out of his chair. He's laughing so hard. So how am I going to pass this? Well, through God's grace and a lot of work, right? You work hard. I had flashcards. I worked through everything and ready for these orals examination. And the two professors that I got the head of the Bible department. That's not the guy you want to draw, but you didn't get to choose. It was just that was your assigned professor. And so I got him and one of the new professors, which is never good either, because now you have a new guy coming in and he's got to prove that, like, you know, he knows something. And so I walked into that room and I don't know if it was all over my face or what, but I think those guys could see it. And they just prayed with me and they just said, hey, Aaron, relax. You know your stuff. We're confident in that. Let's just have a good time. And so we walked through that and I'm standing here today. So you know the answer. By the skin, by the hair of the chinny chin chin, something like that. Yes, see? By God's grace, I stand here today. As we think about God's assignment for Jesus had an assignment from his Father. You think about that verse that is very familiar to many of us. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. And whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. See, at least when we look at the Christmas story, we see that Jesus didn't come just to be born. He came to save. Matthew tells us this, and we want to walk through a couple of these verses. So if you have your Bible and you're able and willing to turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, we just want to look at a few verses this morning that show us the assignment that Jesus had. So Matthew 1 verse 21, we're going to read here in just a minute, but it's a reminder to us that Christmas is not sentimental, it's salvational. Christmas is not simply about the wonder, it's about redemption. It's not about a birth, it's about a mission. God bless you. At the center of the nativity is a cross-shaped shadow. The marvel of Christmas is the marvel of a Savior who would come here on purpose to do something that we couldn't do. He came to save us. Let's look here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. After the angel had appeared to Joseph, or to Mary and Joseph, Joseph was the message to take Mary, his wife. Verse 21 says, the angel says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I wonder if Joseph had planned to name the child after himself, as was the custom. Thought maybe he was going to come and preach up here. We see that even with John. I was reading this morning about John and Elizabeth and how Elizabeth has the baby and they're getting ready to name the baby after Zechariah, and Elizabeth stops him and says, no, you're not naming him after his father. You need to give him the name John. And then it's like people didn't believe Elizabeth, so they went to John. Or he went to Zechariah and said, hey, what do we call this baby? And John writes for them, or Zechariah writes for them, John, right? And so I wonder here, as we look at this, I wonder if the plan at first was for Joseph to name this baby after himself. That was the custom, right? But we see here very clearly the angel tells him, you shall call his name Jesus. Now this name Jesus in the Greek form is what we see here, and we translate it. It comes from a Hebrew term called Yeshua. Yeshua means Yahweh saves. So Jesus' very name means Yahweh, God, saves. Not Yahweh helps, not Yahweh inspires, not Yahweh motivates. No, it's what? Yahweh, God, saves. So in his very name, Jesus carries his mission. And he tells us two things. Number one, he tells us that we need saving. We need saving because we have a human condition. We have a human problem. Every one of us is born with this. And while we all have problems, we know of a lot of problems, right? And I'm not trying to ask you to think about your relatives and all of their issues right now. But if you think about that, the human problem is not ignorance so that we would need education. It's not weakness so that we would need inspiration or strength. The human problem isn't a lack of success so that we need motivation. It's not emotional pain so that we need therapy. The human problem is not oppression so that we would be liberated. While these are all very real issues, they're not our deepest issue. Our deepest issue is three letters, S-I-N, sin, sin. Sin is rebellion against God. It's a heart that is bent inward towards ourselves. Ultimately, it's spiritual deadness. So Jesus didn't come as a life coach, a guru, a politician, a moral example, or a cheerleader. No, Jesus came what? As a savior. As a savior. Second, we see that God himself provides the salvation that we need. God himself provides what we need the most. And the name Jesus reminds us that salvation is not from us. It's not from ourselves. It is for us. We can't earn it. We can't achieve it. We can't produce it. It's God's work, God's gift, and God who rescues us. That's why Christmas is full of good news. God did what you and I can't do. And it's found in his name, the Savior. The marvel of his title we see in Matthew 1, 22 and 23. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. The marvel of his title. Isaiah prophesies. When we think about this, this is really quite staggering. The God who dwells in unapproachable light. The God who thunders from Mount Sinai that we read in the Old Testament. The God whose glory no one could see and live. He's that pure. Is now the God who is with us. Not above us, not against us. Not distant from us. He's not watching us from afar. Jesus, Emmanuel, is with us. Christmas is the end of the distance between God and humanity. Emmanuel means God is with us in our weakness. God is with us in our sorrow. God is with us even in our sin. God is with us in our suffering and pain. God is with us in life and death, and all of eternity. The marvel of God's mission begins with the marvel of his presence. God's presence. He's there with you. In some ways, that's a little freaky, isn't it? At first, when we first got married, Lisa and I, our pastor told us, hey, enjoy being married and enjoy the wedding, your wedding bliss, because God's there with you. And for the first time in my mind, I realized that God was there with me. And I couldn't hide in a closet. I couldn't go somewhere else. God was there even in the midst of that sacredness of my wife and I. It's a little freaky, but it's also really reassuring, and it gives us confidence. Because there isn't any place that you and I can go where God isn't there. He sees it all. That's what makes his love and his grace amazing. Because you can't hide from God. He knows everything about you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows everything about his creation. And yet God chose to come to us and to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. God's presence. And he will always be with us. That's amazing, isn't it? No matter where you go, no matter what happens in life, God's there. Next, we see the marvel of his purpose. The purpose. We see this back in verse 21, at the end of it. Where the angel says, Mary will bear a son, and Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus for this very purpose, for he will save his people from their sin. Joseph learned that Mary's child is not the result of a scandal, but of sovereignty. The angel explained the mission very clearly. He will save his people from their sins. Notice these words. He will save. We can't save ourselves. You cannot do anything to help yourself in front of a holy and perfect God. Our good works, the Bible tells us, are like filthy rags to a perfect and just God. It is God who has to save us. Stop striving to earn your way to heaven. It's only through Jesus. He is the one who saves. I love it because it doesn't say he might save, he hopes to save, he will try to save. No, what does it say? He will save. Jesus' mission is certain, it's unstoppable, and it's victorious. Number two, what we see is he will save his people. The plan is personal. Jesus doesn't come to make salvation merely possible. No, he comes to actually save people, sinners, people like you and me. He comes to rescue us, to redeem us, to restore us, to renew us. He will save his people from what? From their sins. I've often told this story about a time in Lake Anna, just down in Barberton, where I was swimming and I got a little bit too far off and I couldn't touch the bottom anymore. And I thought I was a goner until I saw my brother's hand. It was like the hand of God in those, you know, cartoons. He came down and he grabbed my hair and he pulled me up. And the first words out of his mouth is, "What are you doing?" I needed help that day. Matt saved me. We all need help. And what we need help most from is our sin, our disobedience. While poverty, government, suffering, inconvenience, circumstances will arise, your greatest need in your life is to be saved from your sin, from your disobedience, from the God who created you. Jesus allows that to happen. He came to save us from our sin, because sin is at the root of every circumstance and problem in our world. Jesus came seeking and saving the lost. The manger and the cross, you see, they're one story. The baby came to bleed. The child came to crush the serpent's head. The Messiah came to die and to rise again. This is the heart of Christmas. He came for us. He came to save us. He came to save us from our sin because we can't save ourselves. This is the marvel of his message. As Jesus grew older and began to preach and began to share, he shares in Matthew 4:17, Jesus began to preach saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Ultimately, we see this kingdom that Jesus comes and he shares with people. He tells them to repent, meaning turning from yourself and abandoning your ways and looking to God, to Jesus, to forgive you of your sins. That's why the angels told the shepherds out in the field, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that should be for all people." Christmas is good news. It's not good behavior. It's great joy. It's not pressure on you. Why? Because a Savior has been born. Not a judge, not a critic, not a taskmaster, not a rule keeper, but a Savior. Jesus preached here in Matthew 4 to repent. And we also see then later, before Jesus hangs on the cross, a discussion with Pilate. And as we look at John 18:37, Pilate says, "Are you a king? King of the Jews, right?" Jesus responds and he tells them that ultimately he was born for a reason. That reason? What was the purpose of Jesus' birth? Notice what he tells Pilate: to bear witness, to testify to what? "I come telling you the truth." You know what we need today? The truth, don't we? We live in the circle of a lot of questioning. What is truth? Well, let me tell you, there is absolute truth. It's found in the Bible, and it's found in Jesus. He came to tell us what the truth is. And ultimately, Jesus tells us that no one can come to God, to his Father who sent him, unless you go through him. Because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. So what's our response to all of this? It's three simple words. And I think Joseph helps us to see that. When Joseph wakes up from his dream, he immediately, what? Takes his wife, Mary, as his wife. He protects the child. And then he names the child Jesus. Joseph shows us the proper response as we look at the marvel of Jesus' mission. Number one, we need to trust him. Why? Because he is the Savior that we need. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's the place we must begin. And that's the place we return for those of us who have placed our trust in Jesus. When we claim him as Savior and as Lord, when we believe that he came born as a baby, but ultimately dying after living a perfect and sinless life on a cross, he was buried and he rose again 3 days later. He conquered sin and death, and he appeared to over 500 people, proving that he was alive, proving that he conquered sin and death. Do you trust him? Do you trust him today? If he can take care of your sin problem, he can take care of every other problem of your life. Second, we worship him. Why? Because he is God with us. God's with us, and we get to worship him each and every day. Third, we get to obey him. We obey him because he saves us. It's not about us living our life the way we want. No, we owe him everything, and so in return, we give him our life. We trust the truth of his message. We trust the truth of his mission, understanding and knowing that we need to obey him when we claim him as Savior and as Lord. He's worthy of our life. Christmas calls us to respond to the God who came near to us. And we marvel at the mission of Jesus. This baby, his mission was to die for you and me, to save us. So when we look at the marvel of Christmas, and we look at the baby in the manger, may we be reminded about Jesus. And what does his name mean? Yahweh saves. God who created you saves. Emmanuel, God with us. And ultimately, the Savior who came to rescue us from our sin. This is the mission of Christ. It's not just a sentimental good story. It's a saving story. It's a rescue story. Christmas invites us to marvel again at the God who came. He came for us, to live amongst us, to die for us, to rise again, and he now calls us to worship him. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the life that you've given us. Thank you for this morning, for the opportunity that you've given us to worship you. Thank you for the children, for all their hard work, for the beauty of their songs and their words. And thank you that ultimately the message is very simple. The message is about you giving your son to save us from our sin. So Lord, as we look at your mission, the mission that Jesus had, Lord, may we examine our own life and ask ourselves, how does Jesus' mission affect what I do each day? Lord, we praise you, we thank you for your goodness, for your love, and for your care. May you bless each one that's here. And as we go our ways throughout this week, may we marvel at the mission that Jesus had. We pray this in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. God's blessing to you. Have a wonderful week.